This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
Artificial intelligence has transformed the way we work, also how we learn and communicate. But it's also giving cyber criminals a powerful new set of tools. From clone voices, deepfake videos, to fake banking apps and convincing phishing emails, AI is making scams more sophisticated and much harder to detect. Now, according to a recent TransUnion report, South Africa has recorded the highest rate of suspected digital fraud amongst the African countries analyzed in 2025, with AI playing a growing role in these attacks. Joining us now to, yes, delve into exactly what this means for us and businesses, we welcome Lesedi Mochadibani, a prominent South African edtech entrepreneur, also innovator and founder of Freenotes. As someone working at the intersection of technology and education, Lesedi has a unique perspective on both the opportunities and risks which AI presents. Lesedi, welcome back to the show and thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me on again, Michael. I think it's a very big story, so it's something that really needs to be covered.
Well, sure, artificial intelligence, it has that incredible potential, but now we are seeing criminals use it to commit fraud. So has the technology evolved faster than our ability to protect ourselves? Where do we find ourselves right now?
So what I'd say is that this was more of a situation of the fraud expanding. Because generally how fraud would work back in the day, those badly spelled emails and everything, they were very intentional, because if they sent that email and then you are, then you call them or whatever, or they call you and you talk to them and then you realize it's a scam, that scammer wasted like a whole bunch of time talking to people who weren't going to convert. But then if someone was unfortunately not mentally smart enough to realize that it was a scam from the horrible spelling, mm-hmm. that person's more likely to get scammed. Right. But now with AI, the amount of specialization that they can do and the cost decrease of actually having those calls and sounding more legitimate, it's decreased the cost immensely for them. So like now the general population who wouldn't fall for a dumb email is kind of like part of they've expanded their nets, let me say, rather to simplify it.
Okay, so let's expand on that, if I can put it that way. Lesedi, if AI has become so sophisticated in depicting, you know, itself from a fraudulent perspective, how do we now, at this stage, distinguish between the real thing and fraudulent depiction?
So, to a certain extent, it's kind of difficult. For the average non-tech person, like I'm super deep in tech, so I can notice the little thing, oh my God is always up. But the one that I think can help, especially with calls, because there's a popular thing where now they can use a call, they can call you like as a family member, use your family member's voice, and they only need like 3 seconds of audio from your family member speaking to basically clone their voice. And that one's kind of very scary if your mom is calling you saying, hey, I'm in urgent need of help, I'm stuck here, this, that. But one thing I've learned is that the best way to kind of stop that specifically mm-hmm. is to have like a specific code word with your close ones, with your loved ones, you know, like a specific code word to, like, you know, maybe they say bamboo randomly, right? That's like the code word in your family that only you guys would know. And then that kind of like verifies that this problem is a genuine problem, because the scammer wouldn't know that level of personal family information. But the others, it's a bit more difficult. That's going to be a bit of a long explanation, I think.
Okay, because now I'm getting in a question from one of our listeners who wants to remain anonymous, Lesedi. And the question is reading, what are the most common AI-enabled scams that ordinary South Africans like us should be watching out for today?
A big one that I get a lot, and I just ignore it, is just random SMSs or random emails. Well, SMSs especially, where it says, hey, you've got this error. Either it's from your bank saying, hey, there's an error with your bank account, or hey, there's one of your deliveries is stuck en route. Click here to confirm. And especially when there's a random link, I never recommend clicking those random links. If you want to be sure, you'd rather copy that link open a like an incognito browser or open it on a computer you don't use or something like that, and then open the link if you really want to check that link to verify. And that kind of like creates a degree of separation. But what I like to do a lot as well is taking screenshots. So I'll take a screenshot of that entire email or anything, and then I'll put it into Claude. And then I say, hey, can you verify this for me? And Claude normally is very good at verifying these things for me, because even with my social media presence, I get a lot of emails from different brands. And a lot of times the brands will send false emails and they'll change their email by a singular letter, you know, for that brand or that company. And it's so hard to determine on your own, you know, like it's a real company. They change that one tiny letter. So I always just put it into Claude. And for me, that's like the best methodology.
I
recommend that.
Sorry, Lissetti, you mentioned Cloud. Is it Cloud that we're talking about?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I call it Claude, but you can call
it Claude. Okay, because I'm thinking of Claude as in Francais, as in French Claude. You understand? I just wanted to make sure that I've identified the right, so to speak. Okay, but I'm just making sure we've identified the right platform. You know, Lissetti, if I can play devil's advocate, what is to prevent Claude from being hijacked in itself?
That one is a very difficult one. Okay, actually, no, that's a very good point, actually. I was going to say it's difficult, but no. Sometimes there's prompt injections, prompt injections, actually. So the main thing is that it's better if you take a screenshot, because if, let's say, you copy the email and somehow there's like hidden text somewhere or something like that, then it's easier for a prompt injection to be put in place. But when it's like an email that's directly sent to you for a specific purpose, the scammer isn't necessarily, on average, the scammer isn't necessarily expecting you to copy it and paste it into Claude. That's kind of the advantage. But to those ones that are really smart enough to try and know that, okay, this person's going to try and verify through Claude or whatever, then they try and put a prompt injection, but a prompt injection would only work if, like, you're copying text and maybe part of the text in the email is white or something like that, or you can't see it. So it's a lot of extra steps. Like, that's, like I feel like that's something that they would need to take time to master, I would say. Right now, it's not an easy thing to do because you're doing two scams at that point.
Sure. Lissetti, let's look at the business of the business world now. We're looking at scams and for tech savvy, I mean, businesses are increasingly being targeted through fake supplies. Also, we have these altered banking details, fraudulent invoices. Now, do you believe South African businesses are keeping up with these evolving threats, or perhaps are many still underestimating the risks? Where do we stand on that now?
Oh, I believe they're strong victims. Like, I believe they're strong victims because, unfortunately, not all businessmen or businesses in South Africa are as tech savvy as the scammers are now. Mm-hmm. And some of these invoices that can be scammed, especially with AI, they can scrape so much data on your company, on your deals, on your supplies and anything like that. And especially if there's an inside man in your company who can give them specific data and information, it's so easy to fake that invoice and fake the bank details and everything. So that's one that is very, very difficult, to be honest. And I think that they're going to be very vulnerable. I believe they're going to be very vulnerable. And I think right now the only solution that I see in that specific business environment is the app that they're trying to launch in this article, the IOL article where they talk about AI and fraud and all of that stuff. They have like an app where they can actually verify certain bank details, verify certain invoices.
Sure.
And I think that would help, because using Claude only for businesses in this situation wouldn't necessarily help. Because it's too vague. Like, I mean, Claude wouldn't have as in-depth of an understanding of your business or of the environment. It would be easier to trick in this business supplier case, you know. So this app that they mentioned, I think, I don't know if they call it the SOTRU. I think that's like the best option, especially because it's targeted to South African businesses and suppliers, and you can verify the supply, you can check their history and all of that stuff. Some of that stuff that might not be easily accessible online by LLMs like Claude and Gemini and ChatGPT. So I think that's probably the best solution for now.
I'm getting in a very interesting question from one of our listeners, Lissette. It reads, okay, the listener wants to remain anonymous, but the question asks, how can education and digital literacy help people stay one step ahead of increasingly sophisticated cyber criminals?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good question. So me, to be honest, because the reason why I was able to avoid a lot of scams in the past is because I did IT in high school.
Sure.
And IT, part of our curriculum is learning about phishing, learning about online scams, and so on and so forth. But the fact that only tech people from grade 10 to 12 get exposed to that, and some schools don't even have IT as a subject, that shows that probably you can argue 80 to 90% of students in school didn't get taught that. But if you can include it as like part of the curriculum, like, you know, even as part of life orientation somehow, you have a section in life orientation because this affects your life. So if we're warning kids about smoking, we're warning kids about all these different things, I think that's something that should be included in a subject like that. It should be seen as standard, you know, where you advising kids on things like this, saying, hey, if you're getting an email for this specifically, you can check, verify the email, especially the email address. You check that, go and verify that it's linked to the actual company, you know, and all these different things. So I think if it's included into curriculum, it would be beautiful. I think I think that would be amazing, especially for the younger generations, and it will put them miles ahead when they are at the age where they become vulnerable to getting scammed.
Well, Lissette, let's conclude on that note and just maybe elaborate on it a bit further. If AI is only going to become more advanced over the next 5 years, which we anticipate, what gives you confidence that society can stay one step ahead of cyber criminals?
That's a tough one. To be honest, I'm going to say the cybersecurity specialists, they need to be covering us, you know.
Sure.
It's an industry that we really need to keep investing in, because unfortunately, we don't have enough cybersecurity specialists in the country. There's about, if I'm not mistaken, roughly 60% of cybersecurity roles in South Africa are currently unfilled. And we keep like getting from internet, like other countries and stuff like that, because we don't have enough people here. So I think if we could get more people studying cybersecurity and going down that path, then they can kind of always be that step ahead, because it's going to be impossible for the average citizen to be as ahead of AI as people where this is part of their industry. It's in their blood, essentially, in terms of what they do 9 to 5.
Well, certainly artificial intelligence is changing our world in, well, more remarkable ways than one. But as we've heard today, it's also changing the way criminals operate. And the key takeaway is that technology alone won't protect us. Awareness, critical thinking, vigilance, and good digital habits are more important than ever. Now, whether you're responding to a banking message, approving a business payment, or perhaps answering what sounds like a familiar voice on the phone, taking a few extra moments to verify could make all the difference. Lissette, it's been a pleasure having you on board, and thank you so much for joining us today to enlighten us on what we are contending with regarding cybersecurity and AI involvement, if we can put it that way. Lissette Mochadibani, a prominent South African edtech entrepreneur, innovator, and the founder of Freenodes, who we have featured on the show before. And thank you to everybody who's come on board, who's now listened in intently on the conversation and has clarified a few things regarding Claude. Ada, I hope I've pronounced your name correctly. Ada says, hi, Michael, just to inform you that there is Claude AI and not cloud. Okay, I just got confused a little there, but we must compare notes. We must make sure exactly what can assist us going forward regarding AI and cybersecurity. Apple Cloud is one service. Claude is an AI service as described by Lissette. That comes from Gulls. Sorry, that's what the message is telling me. It's from Gulls. And KM is saying, I think by Claude he means AI called Claude as opposed to GBT. Good people, thank you so much for clarifying that. And certainly we need to do some research and clarification on that. I haven't heard of Claude before, but I will certainly be looking it up now. But Lissette, once again, thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. And until next time, stay informed, stay curious, and above all, stay cyber safe.